you turn your Bibles for a moment to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we have this opportunity now to worship and to study your word. We pray you'll bless it to our hearts, and the Spirit of God this morning will take it and apply it to each of our hearts. We thank you today, dear Lord, that you did love us and care for us and sent your Son to die for us. And this morning we pray in his precious holy name, amen and amen. Of course, I'm sure most of you are aware today is Father's Day, so we say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I read something the other day, and I thought it was probably pretty true. A young lady wrote and said, "Things my dad would never say." Can you turn up that music? Go ahead and take my truck, and here's $50 for gas. I love your tattoo. I think I'll get one just like it. Here, you take the remote. Isn't that dress too long? And several others, but I thought this morning that, you know, as we honor fathers this morning, I want to talk to you about the perfect father. You know, I read a lot of essays this morning in the paper and written by children about their fathers, and as you read through those, it sometimes will bring tears to your eyes and bring laughter to your heart to see sons and daughters write about their love for their father, yet I would dare say that none of those dads this morning were perfect. But the Apostle Paul is going to tell us about the perfect father in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15. Paul says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we shall suffer with him, that we may be glorified together." You see, Paul here tells us that if we are saved this morning, if we've been born again by the Spirit of God, that into our hearts the Spirit of God has placed a Father today. He says here that whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba means daddy. That's about the simplest explanation I can give to you this morning. And, you know, as you think about it, children call us daddy. And, you know, it's like I heard about a young man who was standing watching a parade coming, and as the parade was coming, he suddenly dashed out into the street. One of the guards run out and grabbed him, and a Secret Service man grabbed him and jerked him back and said, "That's the President of the United States." And he said, "Might be your president, he's my daddy." You know, this morning, children call their father's daddy for the most part. And I think sometimes that's simply born within their heart. And you know, this morning as we think about what God has done for us, and we've been born again by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God now comes to live and dwell in us, we can call our Father this morning daddy. And he is the perfect Father today. And if we as fathers this morning have to imitate someone, we should imitate the Father that the Bible teaches us about. You see, this morning we find that somebody says, how should we imitate him? Well, let's give you just a few things today about the perfect Father that I find here in our text this morning, and find that God teaches us in his word today about the perfect Father. You see, the perfect Father listens to his children. In Luke chapter number 11, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day by day our daily bread, And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we commonly call this the Lord's Prayer. Actually, today I think that it might be better known as the model prayer today. It's not something that we should go about doing repetitious of today. There's nothing wrong if you want to pray. And many churches today, when they end their prayers at the end of the service, all the congregation prays this model prayer. And I'm certainly not saying that there's anything wrong with that this morning. But Jesus did not give us this particular prayer for us to go around and just have a repetitious thing that we say. But he was teaching us today how that we are to pray. He was teaching us what this morning, the things that we need to know to approach our Father. And you see, the very first thing that he says today, he says, when you pray, say, Our Father. I'm glad this morning that we can call him our Father. I'm glad this morning that we this morning can go to him in prayer. You see, we can say today that the Jews would never allow this to be said. As you read through the Old Testament, God is never known as the Father in the Old Testament. He's mentioned as the Father of all creation in the book of Malachi. But other than that, throughout the Old Testament, you never find any of the Jews calling him Father. You don't find where Adam called him Father. You never find where Noah called him Father. You never find where Abraham called him Father, even though he was a friend of God. You don't find where the man after God's own heart, David, called him Father. Isaiah, the prophet of God today, never called him Father. Neither did Jeremiah or Hosea or Amos. You don't find where Samuel or any other judges called him Father. This morning, that's a New Testament concept that Jesus Christ brought into this world. In Mark, he calls him Abba Father. We find this morning that the New Testament today is about being born again by the Spirit and the grace of God. And Jesus said today that when we become born again today and we're born into the family of God, we have the privilege and the honor this morning of calling him Father today. Brother John said that now we are the sons of God. That's what Paul said in our text this morning, that if we, this morning, we are the children of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God this morning. That doesn't mean I'm God. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Many people down through the ages have got some wrong theology out of this and begin to teach that we're little gods ourselves. But we're not little gods today. We are the children of God and the sons of God simply today by the grace of the Lord today that sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And when we were saved by the blood of the crucified one, today the Spirit of God came to indwell in us today and made us the children of God. And we are baptized in the body of Christ. That's what Jesus meant today when he said you must be born again. If you want to call God your Father today, you have to be born again. You know, Bailey Smith, the past president of the Southern Baptist Convention, created quite a controversy several years ago when he said that God did not listen and God did not hear the prayers of people who were not saved. A lot of people got upset with Bailey Smith, but he was telling the absolute truth. Now, God does hear the prayer of a man who comes in repentance and faith and asking for forgiveness. And that's exactly today what we need to understand. But when we come to this particular portion of Scripture, when we come to this particular aspect of the Word of God, we find today this is reserved for His children, our Father. You know, when you begin to think about that, it's kind of like this. When one of my children has a problem, when they need something, when they want to talk to me, they call on the phone. Maybe they come to see me, but they'll call and they'll say, Daddy. And you always think, what now? Amen. Come on. But I've never got one of them yet to call Bruce Carter. I said, he's got more money than I got, and he's a lot smarter. He's not as good looking, but I said, call Bruce. No, who they call? They call Daddy. I don't think any of Bruce's girls ever called me and said, you know, I mean, they've called me, but you understand what I'm saying. And that's reserved for your children, isn't it? Our Father. And you know the good thing about it, he listens to us. Paul said in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, as we think about that today, Paul, as he writes that church, and he says that we are to bring what this morning? Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. All my pages stuck together. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You see, we can come to the Father this morning. We can talk to him, and he listens to us. And you know the thing about it is, he really listens. I thought about when I was, as I got older, and after I had left home, and I would work for my stepdaddy some, and when I was off on break and so forth, and my grandmother would call my mother. And Mama would be cooking or ironing or doing 10,000 things that my mother always did. She never was still. She always had to be doing something. And she'd be talking to Big Mama, and she'd lay the phone down and go back over here and do a few things, and she'd go back, pick it up. Yeah, yeah, okay. She didn't listen to a word she said. Big Mama never knew it. But you know, I want to tell you something today. When we talk to the Lord, he listens to what we have to say.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He listens to it. I thought about a man I used to work with, and he was telling me about his boy, and he said, you know, he finally took him to the hospital. They sent a note home from school and said, you need to carry him to the doctor. The Lions Club had come around and done some the eye checking and said, he's got bad eyes and he can't see. And he said, the boy had been telling me he couldn't see good, but he said, I thought it was just one of them things he was trying to make excuses for doing bad in school. And he said, I took him to the eye doctor, and of course they put some glasses on him, and he said, we came out, and he got his glasses and said, he looked down, and he said, Daddy, the grass, you got blades on it. He said, I felt about that high because I hadn't been listening to him. But the Father always listens to us this morning. You think about that. That's a great thing to understand today, that he's always listening to us this morning. If you need help, the Father will listen. I don't know what you might need help with in your life, but the Father will listen to you. Do you need some hope today? The Father will listen to you. If you have a heartache, he'll listen to you. If you're traveling through the valley, he'll listen to you. You're up on the mountain, he'll listen to you. If you need to have a problem, he'll listen to you. I'm glad this morning we have somebody that'll listen to us today. Have you talked to him recently? You see, he always has a ready ear for you. And he's always listening to what you have to say. Our Father. I'm glad we have a perfect Father who will listen to his children.
Amen.
But then we have a perfect Father today who looks over his children. I'm glad that he watches and looks over us today. Sometimes we don't even know he's there, but he's still watching over us. Amen. Somebody said that. The song said, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll see Jesus. I want to tell you today, somewhere in the shadows of life, the Father's looking over us today. He's watching over us. He knows all about us today. He's got the hair of our head is numbered. Several years ago, many years ago now, I had the privilege of hearing Dr. Robert G. Lee preach up at Myrtle, Mississippi. And of course, Dr. Percy Ray ran the camp meeting up there at Camp Zion. And Dr. Lee got to tell it about when they were younger. And he and Dr. Ray used to go out and put up a tent and hold revival meetings. And he said they went to this one particular place, and wherever they went, as the Lord would move and the Spirit of God begin to convict hearts, he said, you know, the taverns and the gambling dens and all the sin and iniquity would begin to go down, and people begin to get saved and get right with God. And he said sometimes it made some of those bootleggers and some of those folks would get mad, and they would threaten them. And he said they went down to this particular place down in the southern part of Louisiana. And he said they set up their tent in right close to the river. And he said they were been there about three nights, and folks were getting saved and getting right with God. And they got word that this particular man was coming, and he was going to whip both of them and run them off and run them out of town because he was ruining, they were ruining his bootlegging business. And he said, sure enough, all over in the afternoon he looked and he said there was a boat coming and they knew who it was. And he said, Dr. Ray dropped down and began to pray, and he said, I was praying, but I had one eye open. And he said the man got out of the boat, come running up there with a big long board, and said he went to hit Dr. Ray, and said just as he went to hit him, a big gust of wind came and grabbed that piece of lumber and throwed him down. And he said, Dr. Ray said, he's still moving, Lord. And he said he run, and he got back in his boat, and he started out across the river and said, Dr. Ray hollered, Lord, he's getting away. And he said about that time, a streak of lightning come down and said it hit that boat and it split it right down the middle. He said the man got back to the shore and he said, you know, he got saved and he became one of the most faithful fellows we ever seen. He said the Lord was looking over us. You know, sometimes the Lord looks over us. It might not be that dramatic. But you think of the times that God has looked over you and protected you and took care of you. You know, I got to thinking about that, and probably some times we don't even know about. Probably none of us would be here today if it hadn't been for the Lord looking over us, isn't it, and taking care of us. I mean, somewhere, several years ago, Desi and I were going down to Dothan, Alabama, and it was over in the night, and we were, I don't even know the name of the little old town we were in, and I thought, well, I'm about out of gas, I might order to get some gas. And it was getting about 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I saw this particular service station. And so I pulled down into that service station off of the two-lane road, I'm sorry. And just as I was pulling off, there was a guy passed me on the right side. I drove down in there, and the station wasn't open. I just went right back up on the road and got behind the guy that had just passed me. We got about far from here to the parsonage, and a guy came on the other side, and they hit that car head on. I said, thank you, Lord. He was looking over us today. The Lord looks over us this morning and takes care of us. That's what a father does, you see. I'm glad we have a father today we might not ever see. We might not even know he's there. But thank God he's looking down and he's looking over us this morning and he's taking care of us today. You know, and right now, right at this particular point of time, he's looking down right now to see what we need and to take care of us this morning. But you know, he not only looks over us, but he also leads us. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. The songwriter said, he leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought, oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Where'er I be, where'er I go, still God's hand that leadeth me. He leads us. See, he has a plan for us today. And he leads us to that plan and that place. And he leads us as we travel through this world. He's out front. He's already been down the road. And he's leading us to the place that he wants us to be. You know, sometimes we kind of want to change his plans. I was reading the other day, and I was reading the biography of Dr. Adrian Rogers, and written by his wife, and she told about when they were in Fort Pierce, or when they got out of seminary, and they were at a place called Waveland, Mississippi. Was pastoring a church there, and a church in Fort Pierce, Florida, called him and wanted him to come, and he turned them down first. They called him back and asked him to reconsider. And so he finally prayed, and he said, I believe that's where the Lord wants us to go. And he accepted the pastorate at Fort Pierce, Florida. She said he got up in the pulpit the day that he was telling the church that he was leaving, and he said, the nail-scarred hand was pointing me to Florida, Fort Pierce, Florida. He said, we got home that afternoon, and the telephone rang, and that it was a man from the First Baptist Church in another place in Florida with a big congregation, and they wanted him to come be the senior pastor. And said he was listening, and said all at once, he said, no, sir, I've accepted the pastor at Fort Pierce, Florida. I can't come. And she said he hung the phone up, and he looked at me, and he said, honey, I like to have been a hypocrite. He said, God said, you done told those people the nail-scarred hand pointing you to Fort Pierce. You better head to Fort Pierce. He leads us this morning, doesn't he? That's his plan for us. That's his plan for us today. I'm glad that we have a shepherd that'll lead us today. And he'll lead us beside still waters. He'll make us lie down in green pastures. He'll prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's there with us. I'm glad that today he'll never leave us nor forsake us, you see. Aren't you glad that he'll never leave you nor forsake you? That's a great thought today. I'm going to say this, but I don't want you to feel sorry for me, okay? See, some people get abandoned by their earthly parents. They'll find babies and they'll find children that have been abandoned. When I was 4 years old, I can just remember a few things. And I remember my daddy backed an old Ford truck up to my granddaddy's porch and unloaded some furniture and my mother and me. And I didn't see him till I was 10 or 11 years old after that. And, you know, he kindly abandoned me. I'm not saying that to feel sorry for me this morning. Don't misunderstand me. I had a great granddaddy. Had a great big daddy, a great grandmother. And so don't feel sorry for me. But understand this. I know what it's like to be abandoned by an earthly father. But I can tell you the honest truth today, I've never been abandoned by the heavenly father.
Amen.
He's never left me, and he's never forsaken me. To be fair with you, I guess sometimes I've kindly strayed off the trail a little bit. And I've maybe abandoned him a time or two, but thank God he's never abandoned me. And he's always there, and he's always leading me. I'm glad I've got a heavenly Father today that'll lead me and guide me and direct me as I travel through this life. And when this life is over, I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. He's headed me toward heaven today. And I'm headed that direction. Then he learns his children. He admonishes us and disciples us and disciplines us this morning to bring us where we need to be. See, sometimes we go off track. But God always brings us back. I'm glad this morning that he keeps us where we need to be. I'm often concerned about people who profess to be Christians, profess to be saved, and yet I never see them be chastised. I never see them be disciplined or guided even though you know they're on the wrong track. Somebody said, you're judging. I'm not judging. I could simply read the Word of God. And there are certain things that happen in people's lives, and as I observe that, and I think, if they're really a child of God, where is the discipline? Where is the chastisement? Because the Bible said He chastises us. And we're all this morning subject to that. He's chastised me. He's disciplined me. I remember one particular incident that something happened, and this particular incident happened in my life, God says, now I'm getting your attention this time. It might be a little worse next time. He got my attention. I didn't have to worry. He didn't have to worry about that anymore. Listen to me this morning. We have a Father today who sometimes disciplines us, but it's for our own good. He admonishes us. And if we get off the wrong way, He'll bring us back on the right track. Amen. I'm glad this morning we got a Father this morning, and He's a perfect Father. But the last thing I'll mention to you is, and I guess this one's pretty obvious, we have a Heavenly Father today, a perfect Father who loves His children. Amen. He loves us unconditionally. You can read the Bible from cover to cover, and one thing you'll never find is where you can earn the love of God. You'll never earn God's love. You might as well stop trying. He loves you. You know, He loves me as much as He loves all of His other children. God doesn't have favorites. When I was growing up, my brother that was murdered, Denny, was right under me, and I never figured this out, but he never did anything wrong, and I never did anything right. You know, something happened, guess who got blamed? And that went through my whole life, but never really bothered me much. We had a lot of fun with it. But you know, I can tell you this much this morning. God does not have favorites today. He loves me just as much as He loves anybody else. And I can't make Him love me any more, and I can't make Him love me any less. Now, He may discipline me. He may this morning chastise me, but that doesn't mean He loves me any less. He loves His children. He loves all of us this morning, and He loves us unconditionally. It doesn't matter who we are, what we look like. It doesn't matter anything except me to tell you today, if you're a child of God, He loves you. Amen. And the great thing about it is He not only loves me, He not only loves His children, but He loves the whole world. For God so loved the whole world. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is God your Father?
Amen.
Is God your Father? He's the perfect Father. And you know, this morning, if He's not your Father, then He can be, for He loves you today. He loves you enough that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior, to die on a cross outside Jerusalem. On a Mount Calvary, on a hill called Golgotha, to win the victory over death, hell, and the grave, to allow you to have the Spirit of God come into your life where you can cry, Abba, Father. Is God your Father? That's a question you need to answer in your own life today. Do you have an earthly father? You say, oh, sure. Well, you need to tell him every once in a while you appreciate him too. And you need to go to the Heavenly Father every once in a while and say, thank you, Lord, for being such a great Father to me. For doing all the things you've done for me. I appreciate it so much. I heard about a man many years ago who every day would go down to the local church, and he would go into the church and kneel down at the altar and he'd say, "Lord, this is Jim. Just wanted to tell you I love you." And he'd get up and leave. He was in an accident and was in the hospital and couldn't go to the church. And one of the nurses had heard about that, and she said, "Well, I noticed that you didn't get to go to the church, Jim, and tell the Lord that you loved him." He said, "No," but he said a few minutes ago, he came in this room and said, "Hello, Jim, I'm the Lord, I love you." Hello this morning, the Father loves you. Is he your Heavenly Father today? If he's not, wouldn't this be a great time to leave today and say, on Father's Day, 2013, God became my Heavenly Father. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name I pray, amen.